A confluence of events is at play as we welcome our next guest. Tomorrow is the 134th running of the Kentucky Derby, horse racing's premier event, and Buzz Bissinger's article about the Derby champ of a couple years ago was a finalist for a National Magazine Award. Those ceremonies were held yesterday. That piece was about a horse that you have heard of, even if you don't follow horse racing.
And Sweet Northern Saint sits toward the rail, but they're coming to the finish, and it is all Barbaroe in a sublime performance. He runs away from them all, and he has saved something left for the Preakness. Barbaroe wins by 7.
Of course, it was 2 weeks later in the Preakness that Barbaroe broke his leg, an injury that led him to be euthanized. That is the subject of a piece called... What was your piece? What was the name
was
of it?
Called,
Gone with the Wind?
Gone Like the Wind.
Gone Like the Wind. Buzz Bissinger, Vanity Fair contributing editor, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist for political writing, right?
With the Actually, Philadelphia Inquirer. It was for investigative reporting.
So he's done all sorts of writing and all sorts of reporting, and if you're a fan of Friday Night Lights, he's the man behind that too. Also, Three Nights in August, which was the best look at the inside mindset of a major league manager I've ever read. So thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me.
So when you hear Tom Durkin do the announcing. He's a great announcer. Does it still affect you?
Yeah,
do you
get it did. As I heard it, I got sad.
Yeah.
I mean, this was just, and my take on the piece, and it wasn't a particularly complicated. It wasn't just a magnificent animal. This was a magnificent athlete.
Yeah.
And I saw him dying. It would be like Michael Jordan dying in the prime of his life or Beckham dying in the prime of his life. And so when I hear that call, you know, that famous call, here comes Barbaro when he comes around the far turn and then he pulls away. I, as a kid, was lucky enough to be there at the Belmont when Secretariat won the Triple Crown.
To me, that
and Barbaro reminded me he had that instinct. He could have been that great. He could have been one horse for the ages, and I don't think we'll see a horse like that ever again. I'm not an expert.
So 1973, Secretariat wins the Belmont by 31 lengths.
Yes.
And that the film of that, I was 1 year old at the time, where you see Secretariat cross, and then the camera stays, and there's no other horse in frame, and it has to pan to the left. It just gets me every time.
Right.
There's something about horses of all sports. I don't know. Maybe it's that they're pure. Do you like writing about them compared to other athletes?
Yeah, I mean, I like animals. I mean, that's the reason we all like animals, because you know what? They're pure. They're honest. And I think the outpouring for Barbaro when he got hurt was really based on it. He didn't have an entourage. He didn't have a posse. He had never been arrested for marijuana possession or possession of a
right.
gun. But, you know, horses do have intellect. They do have interior lives. And this was a horse of uncommon intelligence and uncommon guts and bravery. And what strikes me the most about him is he really taught humans how to die. He finally, in his own way, said enough is enough. I mean, he went through, I don't know, a dozen different anesthesias, just surgery after surgery. And he finally said to people, you have to let me go. And that was very, very hard, in particular for the surgeon.
So talking, as you just did, that you don't have to write about spousal abuse or SAT scores, is there a liberation in writing about an animal athlete, especially because you don't have to get a quote from him? So probably so often you love what he does on the field, and then athletes can't really often can't analyze themselves. They're not that aware. So that has got to be a frustration
as a sports writer. Athletes are definitely not aware.
Yeah.
A few are. The danger in any piece like this, and the piece did work out well, I truth in advertising, I did not win last night. I blame you guys for this.
There is a curse of the BBP with all
obviously
our...
Obviously, BBP has jinxed me,
yes.
And I will never forgive you. But having said that, the danger in any piece written about an animal, and I'm going to mispronounce the word because it's too long, but you anthropomorphize. There you
yes.
go. And that's the danger, that you put thoughts – you've seen those pieces. You put all sorts of thoughts into the horse's head because it's easy to do because who knows what the horse is thinking. That's what I try to avoid, so you rely on other people, whether it's the trainer Michael Matz. And one of the great delights is Michael Matz has a horse in tomorrow's Derby.
Which one is his?
Visionaire. It's a 20-to-1 shot. But, you know, Michael is a fantastic man, a great athlete, very proud, very inward, and that's great. To see. So you rely on him. You rely on the owner, Gretchen Jackson, who is the most down-to-earth, honest, blunt person you will ever meet. You rely on the surgeon, Dean Richardson, because, you know, if you do too much of it, it begins to sound really silly. You know,
yes.
I mean, I didn't want to make him into Mr. Ed. But this horse definitely did show a lot of signs of, you know, you're doing the right thing, enough is enough. And he really was able to communicate. There were people he loved. There were people he hated, and he made it clear. There was a massage therapist they brought in, and he just hated her, and basically kicked her out of the stall.
So Marts had to come and redress his wounds, you know, basically right. every day, which is amazing. He's probably giving up a lot of money because he's an in-demand trainer having just right. trained Barbara.
Well, Matt's really loved, I think, the horse the most and knew the horse yeah. the most. And I think Matt's, knowing Michael, was very, very appreciative of what Barbaro had done for him. You know, he says in the piece, he said, look, if this is what it takes to train a Kentucky Derby winner, then it's pretty damn easy. That horse pretty much did everything that I wanted. Now, Barbaro could be really ornery. Mm-hmm. He was hard to saddle in his first race ever. He wouldn't get in the gate. And then at the Preakness, you know, it's the one X factor we don't know. As we all remember, he left the gate early.
Right.
And had to be re-examined.
And I remember so much controversy afterwards. Like, I've never seen, why would they let the horse run? It's you know, the de facto decision that you take the horse out at that point. Someone had to blame something. And right. that was so unusual that, of course. But they inspected him, and he seemed fine.
It's unusual when he was inspected, and yeah. I don't think it had anything to do with it. I think what it showed, he was really over-adrenalized as these horses get. You know, the problem with thoroughbred racing is, no matter how well you treat them, and he was very well treated, it's a very difficult life. It's a difficult life because the way of American racing is, the tracks are hard-packed, it's hard on their hooves, it's hard on their legs. American horses are built for speed, so their legs, you've seen their legs, they're thinner than ours, yep. are not built for the muscle mass mm-hmm. that often they have to carry. And this was a horse of magnificent musculature. But Dean Richardson, who would really know better than anyone else, said it was just a tragic misstep. And unfortunately, these things happen in life, and there is no boogeyman, there is no villain, there is just simple tragedy.
I'm sure you've heard the theory about sports riding that it's inversely proportional to the size of the ball. Have you heard that one?
No, that's
so
a good
sports
one.
With sports with the bigger balls, like volleyball and basketball, not such good riding. Golf, you know, baseball, great riding. Golf, really right. great riding. And then when you get to boxing and horse racing, no balls at all, the best riding.
Right, that's good.
Is there something about horse riding that you like? Opportunity to use phrases and
well, I mean,
and
this was the first story I'd ever written about a horse. I mean, being a journalist for a long time, you know a good story when you see one, and I had the advantage of being able to write this story after you know, I never met Barbaro in the flesh. I mean, mm-hmm. he was dead, and sometimes it's the best time to do stories because you're going in and you're able to really reconstruct and re-interview people when they sort of have calmed down. But there's no question some of the best, you know, writing I've ever read has been about horse racing. William Knack was a phenomenal writer about horses. You know, you talk about boxing and you see the work of W.C. Hinds. I mean, they were brilliant. And this was just a great story because it was uplifting at times, is the way Barbaro hung on and you thought he was going to make it. And then at the end, there was such tragedy as he really said, you know what, let me go. Let me die in peace. I cannot take this anymore.
So let's segue to the thing that's made you an internet sensation. Do you think writing like this, which is writing and reporting, is threatened by the internet?
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's what I say. In the light of day, having three days removed, there was no question I could have been somewhat more diplomatic.
And what happened? I got to set the scene. You were on an HBO show with Bob Costas as the moderator. You sort of debated Deadspin's Will Leach. Will Leach has been on our show a few right. times. And your point was what?
My point is that I think the internet and I think blogs, not all blogs, I've since learned there are some good blogs out there. There are some bloggers who are dedicated to the craft of trying to do things well. But I think in general the tone of most blogs is very cruel and very mean-spirited because that's what get posts and they want posts because that's what get traffic hits. If you get enough of them, that's where you get advertising and that's where you begin to make money. I mean, let's not mistake this.
It's all a cynical enterprise.
I mean, you know, they want to make money. I mean, come on. So my feeling, which I still believe, is that most blogs are dedicated to what is completely antithetical, not just to me, but to the dozens of journalists that I've known in my life. You know, whether I won or lost last night, there are dozens of great pieces being written with tremendous bravery, great reporting, great writing, and you're not going to find that on a blog. It's mostly about edge. It's mostly about off the top of your head opinion. And I think it does dumb us down as a culture. Now, my approach was not the greatest.
Well, we have an example of that.
And oh,
here's
great.
Here's how you said it on HBO with some bleeps.
I'm just going to interject because I feel very strongly about this. I really think you're full of
shit. Okay, well, that's fair.
Because
enough.
I think that blogs are dedicated to cruelty, they're dedicated to journalistic dishonesty. They're dedicated to speed. And it's amazing to me that you say sports news without access, favor, or discretion when you admit to being biased for the Cardinals.
Okay, Richard Sandomir, a print journalist, wrote that your attitude subverted a reasonable point. Would you own up to that now?
Yes, I would. I mean, I think there were some very valid points that I made, but I was simply too angry, and it wasn't a put-on. I mean, I call my wife. You'll call her today. I wake up in the morning, and I'm ranting about 16 or 17 things, and she finally says, I give up. I'm going to go get coffee. I can't stand being around you. That's the type of person that I am.
And it drives you to write.
I really I do consider blogs not just a threat to journalists. I consider them, in a sense, many of them, a threat to society, in that it is constant dumbing down. I don't know why we have
sports blogs, because the debate also, the very similar debate is with political blogs, where political writers say, we report and all you guys do is pick over it. But at least the political blogs could say, you know, we're the ones who drew attention to Dan Rather and that scandal. We're the ones who drew attention to Trent Lott talking about Strom Thurmond. You know, the Daily Coast actually TPM, because they assembled all these people looking through documents, they pretty much reported the Attorney General scandal. Now, I don't know if sports blogs have done that sort of reporting, but it's just, you know, it's kind of a new media versus old media and gatekeeper versus democracy argument there.
Well, and, you know, the answer is I don't know. I'm sure there are some sports blogs that have broken some things. There's a pro football blog
that drove
a lot of the coverage on Michael Vick, which was a good thing. So, yes, I mean, there's certainly bloggers out there who do reporting, and I cast too wide a net, but I'm not going to back off from what I said. I think in most instances, you know, look, unfortunately, cruelty now sells in our society. I may be the only person alive who thinks that what's being done to Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan not only is enough, I think it's cruel to them.
Well, it's like booing in a stadium.
Let them go. And that's what we want.
If half the audience boos, it sounds like everyone boos.
And that's what we want. And it may not be the tone of the blogs, but, you know, they're going to write something controversial enough. The tone of the posts, which are part of the blogs, no matter what bloggers say, the tone of the posts can be the most vitriolic, the nastiest, the most hair-raising, most disgusting stuff that I've ever read. And I've got a lot of emails. Now, I've got a lot of emails from bloggers who have been very, very thoughtful, mm-hmm. and have opened my eyes to a lot of things.
Have you read more blogs than you've ever read in the last couple of days?
I've read more than I ever want to read. Some of them are quite good. You know, there's a lot of baseball blogs. I mean, there's this endless deconstruction of statistics, you know, which should be done at MIT. I mean, enough is enough.
Yeah.
But the bloggers, some of them, they've been very thoughtful. They have not been personal, but there have been a lot of attacks on me, from the way I look to the way I dress to the way I smell. You know, I could use all sorts of profanity. You know, you're just an old-headed idiot, and that's putting it mildly. And I think that's what most blogs are dedicated to do. And it's not – they don't threaten me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to write for Vanity Fair. I'm going to continue
to write books. You're established. You're a brand.
But I'm also a journalist, and I think it puts print journalists in an impossible situation, because now editors are saying, you have to be more edgy. Why don't you do a blog? Why don't you do a blog like Deadspin? And journalists say, well, wait a sec. We have some standards. We report things out. We just can't say whatever we want. And, you know, the blogs start rumors that may or may not be untrue. And don't think it has an impact on athletes, because athletes are the most sensitive creatures in the world. They look at it. They go on Deadspin. And, you know, Will Leach actually is a nice guy. He is. And I should never, ever have treated him that way. And I am embarrassed for myself. And the emails that I got that hurt the most were from fans who said, I'm going to burn your books. Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn my back on you. And that did hurt me personally. And I feel unfortunate about that. But, you know, when they went pictures of Matt Leinart doing something idiotic, you know, they're not doing it to show that he's human. They're doing it to humiliate him. And then pro athletes say, why should I talk to any of you? I don't care what your credentials are. You're a liar. All you want to do is play the game of gotcha and get me.
Buzz, I want to thank you for coming in and talking about a great piece and a really interesting issue. Buzz Bissinger, who is a National Magazine Award winner and has written Friday Night Lights and a few other books that are some of the best sports writing you'll ever read. Thanks a lot, Buzz.
Hey, thank you.
That does it for this hour of the BPP. We don't go away online. npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Mike Pesca. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.
Happy Friday!